Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just go to the instant feedback form. Tell us who you are, where you're from. And feel free to ask a question of myself or my guest today. Joining me shortly, Meryl Beck. You know, she's the author of this new book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-Day Program to Free Yourself from Emotional Eating. The book's website is stopeatingyourheartout.com. But first, I want to say hello to the Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing. Never forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there, make a difference. Don't just talk about change. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see. Take action. How would your life be different if you treated it as a verb? Stop being such philosophers and start taking action. Get out there. Participate not only in your own journey, but in the journey of those around you. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Never, ever forget the power of one. And thank you, A Better Today community, all of you, for all the things you're doing and participating in your journey, for participating in the journey of others, for embracing that beautiful sense of spirituality while at the same time not turning your back on your humanity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to get to the show. You know, Meryl Hershey Beck is a licensed therapist who has over 20 years of experience counseling binge and compulsive overeaters. Her book is Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-Day Program to Free Yourself from Emotional Eating. Of course, always honored to have you on the show. Meryl Beck, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. It's going to be fun being here with you.
So much fun. So tell me the story of how this became. I mean, if you've been into this field for 20 years of experience, is this something that hit you personally?
Yes, and that's the reason I got involved in it as a therapist. I didn't realize that I had binge eating disorder as a kid growing up, and it wasn't until much later when I became a therapist that I realized I had all of the characteristics, which means things like eating in secret, being totally ashamed of my body, eating fast, eating because of feelings, a whole lot of things like that, a lot of compulsive eating. And because of that, I got involved in 12-step recovery. And in 12-step recovery, I was doing a lot of sponsoring, and it was so much fun, and I was getting better, and people around me were getting better, and I thought, wow, I think I'm going to have a career change. And I went back to school and got my master's in counseling and became a licensed counselor in 1990, and that's when I decided to focus on the recovery population, specifically eating disorders, and mostly binge eating disorder and compulsive overeating, because I know about that personally.
Along the way, you must have learned so many fascinating facts about human behavior itself. Well, what are some of the things that might have surprised you or fascinated you about our behavior and our tendency to binge?
Well, just think about how we link up food with releasing pain. You know, we go to the doctor's office and you get a shot and they say, here's a lollipop. You fall down and skin your knee and mommy says, here, have a cookie. So very early on we link, if we eat something, will make us feel better. And that was one of the earliest associations we have. And it carries us through adulthood. So that when we're in pain, very often we want to open up the refrigerator and what can I have because it'll soothe it, it'll take it away.
Do you find that the challenge for people is simply getting out of their own way?
I think the challenge is, one of them is to open their eyes and realize what they're doing. So the first assignment I have in the book is for people to write an eating history, because so often we are totally in denial and not even realizing how much we're eating and why we're eating and stuffing our faces and looking for food to fill us in a way that food wasn't meant to. Food's used for nourishment and it's used for pleasure, but it's not necessarily supposed to be there to take away pain and to fill the soul, the hole that's in our soul. It's many of us, including me, use food as a drug, and it's like the alcoholic will use the alcohol or the drug addict will take the drug. I use the food to fill the same hole within my soul.
I was
addicted to it. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. Will we always use something? Because when you talk about anesthetizing pain like that way, and I agree with you, food is definitely one of the tools used. People use drugs as another tool. Some people use the church as it. Some people may use some sort of ideology. Are we always looking for something to anesthetize the pain and really forget that we also have the tools to get the pain at the root, at the source?
Well, I don't know if it's a question of always, but as we grow and as we mature emotionally and spiritually, we find other tools that we can use, you know, including that spiritual tool. Of tapping into the universe, tapping into God, whatever it is we call it, to fill ourselves with light, to fill ourselves with energy and love, rather than filling ourselves with a substance. So it's not a question of always, it's a question of our own journey and when are we emotionally and spiritually mature and be able to open up to that resource rather than having to open up the refrigerator.
Did you set out in writing this book, did you set out to make it a deeper than just a regular diet book, deeper than just a regular weight loss book?
Well, I didn't actually set out to write it as a diet book at all. I set out to tell my story, and when the publisher was interested in it, they said, you know, memoirs are not selling very well on the recovery bookshelves. Will you rewrite it as a prescriptive self-help book? So it started out more as a memoir with a few tools, and now there's my story in it and my client's stories intertwined in it. But it's really set up as a self-help book so that it, and there's no diet involved, so that if anybody else were following like Weight Watchers or any other diet, they can use this to stop those cravings that are keeping them from their goal of staying on whatever food plan they want to stay on. The only mention of food is at the end when I talk about healthy eating. And healthy eating is, you know, eating a little few processed foods in the most natural state you can, but there's no diet involved.
Are there common red flags or typical characteristics of emotional eaters?
That's a good question. Well, one is, I see it for myself and I see it with people around me when I'm aware of it, and that's eating really very rapidly. Because if we're eating rapidly, we don't even know what we're eating. We don't have it doesn't have any flavor, it doesn't have any taste, and it's being used in a way to fill us, rather than being used as an enjoyment or something to savor. That's one of the ones that comes to my mind first of all. That whole idea of being really anxious and shoving it in.
So the opposite of mindful eating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't know what the word savor meant until, you know, way into recovery when they said, just slow down. Can you taste it? Oh, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
I like that you said we will eat in order to just fill ourselves. It's almost a conditioning that where we don't like the feeling of being hungry, and we almost prefer the opposite feeling. Is that something that people discuss with you often?
Well, let me just say that most of us don't even know what it means to be hungry, because we have a different kind of hunger. It's not a hunger for food. It's a hunger for something else. It's a deeper hunger. It's a spiritual hunger. Very few people that I know of who are well-fed in this country are ever really physically hungry. I mean, yeah, a little bit, but we're not starving. And we don't, in fact, one of the tests I do for myself once in a while, if I notice that I'm eating too fast again, I'll go on a fast, or I'll intentionally eat very small portions to see how little I can eat and still have enough to survive and be physically okay. Because I think we don't really know what hunger is. For me personally, my Apostat, that's that hunger control center, I think was out of whack. I learned to disregard it for so many years and not pay attention to when I'm hungry and when I'm satiated, that it lost its functioning ability, and I couldn't tell whether I was hungry or not. I just looked at the clock, said, oh, 12 o'clock, I better eat. I had no idea whether my stomach said it's time to eat because I'm hungry.
Huh. Is a lot of it just your habits, your biorhythms and habits?
Well, some of it is. There's a lot of habit involved in it, right? And again, it's the opposite of mindfulness. It's the opposite of consciousness.
With all the diets that are around, is there a particular diet that you follow, that you suggest others to follow, as far as it's kind of marketed diet, but any specific type of diet that you have found most effective?
I think everybody's so individual that they need to find what works for them. I have friends who do so well as raw foodists, and others who just don't function very well, and others that are just vegetarians or vegans. And for me personally, I do well doing mostly vegetables with some protein and some fruit and some other, complex carbohydrate. That's me personally, and I think it's so individualized. One of the things I teach is a form of muscle testing. It's an energy test called a lean test. And if you were standing up and put a food in front of yourself, you ask your body whether or not this is healthy for you. And if your body leans toward it, your body wants it, and if it leans back, it doesn't. And it's good to practice this before you start it with real food, start it with something you know is good for you, healthy, whatever, some like healthy water, and then pick something that is not healthy for you, like sweet and low or something. And you'll see your body go forward toward the water and backwards toward the sweet and low. In most cases, you want to make sure your body's acting that way before you actually do it. And after you've done that for a long time, you can do it with restaurant menu items rather than actually having to stand up and hold the item in front of you. So it's a way of checking in with your body wisdom. What does your body want right now? And what's going to be satisfying for it and nutritionally help it?
Throughout the years that you've been in practice and helping others get out of this cycle, what role has their spirituality, their religious or ideal convictions, what role has those played in helping them break free from the shackles of this binge eating?
The people I work with are so much involved in 12-step recovery that they all have a spiritual base. Every once in a while I'll meet somebody that is agnostic or atheist, and it doesn't matter. If they can believe that there's something bigger than themselves that they can use, whether it's even the whole idea of bringing in energy to fill them or bringing in light to fill them. And one of the things that goes along with this is the importance of a support system. For me personally, I use 12-step recovery, and that doesn't work for everyone, and that's okay. But it's real important to have a safety net, a support system, so that when that food is calling you, you have somebody to call instead. Or even before the food calls you and you're having a big feeling, you just had a big fight with your boyfriend, you can call up your friend and say, listen to just what just happened, rather than saying, oh, where's that ice cream or where's that candy?
So in your book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, you bring them through a 21-day program. Now this someone can be an emotional eater for years. I mean, they could be emotionally eater for the majority of their life. But But they can gain freedom from this in just 21 days?
Well, some people can. There's a woman on Goodreads who's been writing to me, and she said, I think she said on day 11, she looked back and realized that she had only had one small incident of emotional eating since she began the process, which is totally amazing. But what's going to happen at the end of 21 days is that you have tools to use over and over and over again. These tools, these 21 days worth of tools, will be filling your toolbox, and you can decide on different occasions which one is appropriate. So if you know you're going to be meeting some people that you really don't care for, and if you're afraid you're going to overeat when you're in front of them, what are some tools you can do ahead of time? Well, one is you might call somebody. Another one is you could do some tapping, which is energy psychology. Maybe you'll do some journaling. Maybe you'll do some meditation or breathing techniques. So there's a lot of things in your toolbox that you'll have every time you have an occasion where you're thinking you may overeat. Does that answer your question?
It does. Energy psychology. Okay. You talked about that. I would love to hear more about energy psychology.
Well, it's a fairly new field, and it's based on Oriental medicine and the acupuncture, and the meridian system. The story that I like to tell, because one of the founders is Roger Callahan, and Roger is a therapist, a psychologist in California. He was seeing a woman named Mary, and because she was so afraid of water, she would take a bath in 2 inches. And if it was raining, she wouldn't go outside. And he did all kinds of different techniques with Mary to get her over phobia, and there wasn't very much change. And then Roger became interested in learning muscle testing and in learning about the meridian system, and he discovered that when Mary came in, he said, Mary, can I try something new? And she said, sure. And he said, let me think about water. And her terror went up immediately. He said, I'm just going to tap here. And he was tapping right under her eye. And you can feel this, and listeners can feel it. There's a bone right in the center of your eye, and there's a little notch in it sometimes you can feel. And he tapped right there very gently, just for a few minutes. And Mary said, it's gone. And he looks at her like, what? And she starts walking outside where there's a swimming pool. And he yells out, Mary, don't go in, you can't swim. And she yells back, Dr. Callahan, it took away the fear, it didn't make me stupid. And so, you know, this woman who had this phobia for her whole life, it was gone like that. And he realized that he was onto something. And he came up with algorithms. So you tap on certain points to release certain feelings. And I studied the technique, and I learned how to release trauma from people, and it was very effective. But I always felt like I needed a cheat sheet with me because I didn't remember which point for which feeling and in which order. And along came this man named Gary Craig. And Gary was a Stanford-trained engineer, and he spent over $100,000 to study with Callahan. And he said, yes, this really works, but let's simplify it. You know, that's the engineer mind. And instead of having to tap certain points for certain feelings, he has you tap every point. And every point meaning, there's like top of the head, side of the eyes, under the eye, under the nose, chin, collarbone, underarm. Those are the basic points. And as you're tapping them, you're saying, you know, thinking about whatever it is, whatever the feeling is. And that's why with Callahan it's called thought field therapy. You're in the thought. You're in the field of the thought. Excuse me. And Gary Craig's method, EFT, or Emotional Freedom Techniques, has been done now worldwide by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. There's so many practitioners. And I've used it to clear my own memories, to clear what's going on currently, and to also to take away cravings. Now, when I took it back to my clients, they loved it. But again, these are people who have higher power in their life. They have spirituality, and they were missing that component. So my colleague and I came up with a different technique that was a bit similar, but it has a script with it, and it's called RIT, R-I-T-T, Rapidly Integrated Transformation Technique. And you tap the same points, but at each point you say some different words. For instance, the under eye point would be, I release all the fear and all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue. And so each point has a script with it, and it's the same technique, except you're going back to the roots to get rid of things that are in your unconscious. And it's so effective. It's so effective. When I was a trauma therapist, you know, all we had was the bataka, you know, the foam bat, and told people to start hitting the pillow when they had memories. And that was good, and that's all we had. But now when we use the tapping, it takes it away so much faster. In one or two sessions, people can be clearing up old memories that have caused them trauma that have been sitting there and festering within for all these years. So it's allowing us to transform the planet and not allow suffering to exist on the planet anymore for anybody that has that technique. And I want to tell your listeners that RIT, R-I-T-T, Rapidly Integrated Transformation Technique, when they go to my website and sign up for the free book called Acupressure Techniques for Weight Control, that's given in that book. And until April 15th, people who are signing up on the website will be enrolled in a drawing that we're doing on April 15th for 5 free books that we're giving away.
Awesome. And the website is StopEatingYourHeartOut.com. That's
correct.
StopEatingYourHeartOut.com. What I like about this book is for me, there's a lot of conscious living, paying attention to how you're feeling, paying attention to what you're eating, paying attention to how what you're eating makes you feel. You talk about gratitude. I love the conscious living aspect of it. Is this something that that you wanted to add to this, or is this something that was added later on?
Oh, it's something that was added to my life once I got involved in recovery. Now, again, you know, 12 steps really is not the way for everybody, but it was my first step into recovery. Up until then, I was totally in denial. I didn't know I had any kind of problems. If somebody would say, how are you, I'd say, fine. I believed I acted calm, cool, and collected, but nobody knew what was going on inside, and I didn't know what was going on inside. You know, I wore a mask. I used to say my middle name is Pretend, and it wasn't that my childhood was devastating. It was that the stories I made up about my childhood were devastating for me. For instance, when I was 4 and my father started to travel, you know, that was a little T trauma for me. And what I did with it was I made up a story that I wasn't enough, that he left because I wasn't enough. And I carried that story for years and years without realizing it. And because I had that belief, I attracted other people to me that would prove that I'm not enough and would beat me down. And then so I would beat myself up, and then I would attract other people who would in some way criticize and tell me I wasn't enough, all because of my father starting to travel and my not understanding it and trying to make sense of it. This 4-year-old little girl mind couldn't make sense of it. Just like people who are being divorced, so often the kids say, oh, if I had been a good boy or I had been a good girl, they wouldn't be divorced. Because we personalize what's happening around us as children and try to make sense of the world, and we think it's our fault. And so I was living that kind of unconscious life way into my 30s. And that's when I opened up and started doing work around my work and began with doing the 12-step work. And 12-step work allowed me to start becoming honest with myself, because I was wearing these masks and having all these beliefs about myself and beating myself up all the time, but appearing to be very nice and very much calm and collected and in control and sweet and the perfect mother and the perfect daughter and the perfect sister and the perfect wife, and it was all a huge, you know, charade. In fact, before I got involved in my own journey, I had one moment of introspection, because that wasn't the way I lived my life, and I took out a big yellow legal tablet, and on one side I wrote plus, and on one side I wrote minus. And on the plus side, I wrote a good mother ? And on the minus, I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And that's the way I saw myself. Fast forward about 10, 15 years, I've been doing my own work and on my journey and on my path. And I was at a workshop, and they asked us to write down positives about ourselves. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and all of a sudden I had the memory, wow, this is very different than the yellow legal tablet. Have I changed that much? And as I looked at it, I realized, yes, I have changed, but the biggest change was I took off those black glasses that only saw the negatives about myself, and I put on clear ones because I could start seeing the truth, and I really had some really good qualities that I had been blind to.
I love that, and you become aware of the story that you're telling yourself, and it empowers
mm-hmm.
you and enables you to change the story.
Right.
Well, folks, we're having
Absolutely.
A great conversation with Merrill Hershey Beck. She's the author of Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-day program to free yourself from emotional eating. Website is stopeatingyourheartout.com. That's stopeatingyourheartout.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to take some feedback with Merrill. We have a whole segment left with Merrill, so I'll get to your feedback. You're asking some fantastic questions. Again, while we're on break, make sure you check out stopeatingyourheartout.com. That's stopeatingyourheartout.com. If you're listening through our website, you can just click on Merrill's name, and it'll take you right to her website. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true. The scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man. Be so mean.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, abettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. Every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. Over 1,000 hours of radio with today's best-selling authors, fantastic communicators, some incredible conversations, and some killer seminars. Again, 100% free. The only thing I ask is that you share. Let other people know about Empowered Living Radio. Let them know about our fantastic guests like Merrill Hershey Beck. Let them know about books like Stop Eating Your Heart Out. Let them know that there are people out here who are providing them with the tools they need to break free from that imprisonment of disempowered thinking. We're having a great conversation with Merrill Hershey Beck. She's the author of Stop Eating Your Heart Out. The website is stopeatingyourheartout.com. And we're going to start with feedback from Monica. Monica's in San Diego, California, and she writes, Steve, very interesting topic. I'm wondering how I can incorporate tools like this to my children. My children are young, 6 and 9 years old, and I want to know what to look for to see if they're emotional eaters and how I can control their diet in a way that both nourishes them physically and emotionally. Thank you so much in advance.
So after I finished writing my book at a workshop, I immediately started my second one, which I haven't done anything with, but it was the book I wish I had had as a child, and it was that feelings are not going to kill us. That feelings properly expressed are just fine. And so what I'd say to Monica is allow your kids to have their feelings and learn how to express them appropriately rather than them feeling ashamed that they're feeling sad or feeling afraid or hating somebody. You know, that was what happened for me is my feelings were not okay. It was a time, I mean, I grew up in this time when our culture was a looking good culture. You know, we had stewardesses then. We had to make certain weight. They had to look good. And my family fit into this culture. It had to look good, so we had to have all these positive feelings. And I had nowhere to go with the ones that weren't so positive, that were very challenging for a little girl, you know, the sadness and the anger and the fear. And so, Monica, if you let your kids find a place where they can absolutely express those feelings to you, you know, maybe not out in the world yet, who knows, they won't probably need to turn to food in order to stuff them down.
Is that something you get often? Do you often get parents asking how to keep their kids out of this cycle?
I usually have parents working on themselves first, and then once they work on themselves, they're getting a sense more of what they can do for their kids. So I usually have parents, it reminds me of Al-Anon, you know, we just have to work on ourselves first, and then they can help their kids. But, yeah, because parents are very concerned, especially, you know, we have this so-called obesity epidemic, and the kids are getting heavier and heavier, and there's lots and lots of reasons for that. I'm not going to even get into it. But one of the things is that we, as a culture, often eat our feelings. You know, we're feeding ourselves because we don't want to hurt. Our heart's hurting, so that's why we want to stop eating our heart out.
Does the new additives in food that you hear about, the new chemicals in food that we become addicted to, doesn't that add to the depth of emotional eating?
Oh, absolutely. Chris Powell on an extreme makeover, I can't remember the name of it, extreme weight makeover segment said, fast food is the opiate of the masses. And we're using food in a way we it's so plentiful. And the other biggie is sugar. Some of us have all seen Hungry for Change, which was on the internet last week, and that talked about, you know, how sugar's put into so many things. I mean, sugar and pasta sauce. I was at the store the other day and picked up something, and I thought, sugar in this too? I mean, sugar is one thing, and then there's corn syrup, which is high fructose corn syrup, which is even more toxic in a lot of ways to our bodies and more addictive. So it's so much of it's in our processed food. That's why I often, you know, say to people, eat as much as you can from the outside of that supermarket, which is the fresh stuff, rather than down the aisles.
It's it's incredible to me how the dimension of our need changes, how we have to be cautious for ourselves, for our health, and even protect ourselves from things like the grocery store, and to be conscious of even what we're eating. I think that it's an incredible time to be alive, because there are so many tools, there are so many people out there awakening you from this kind of existing living, and really paying attention to what we're doing. I really enjoy that. And I want to go with some more feedback. We're going to go to Christina. Christina's in Toronto, and she writes, what role does journal writing play in this process? Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Christina. So journal writing is really important because it's one way we become aware of what's happening. When we're thinking about something, sometimes we're just at the tip of the iceberg. However, if we sit down with that pen and paper, we often get to feelings and thoughts that are way below that and can take us to a new level of understanding and, you know, and awareness. And Steve, do we have a minute so I can read a very short review that
course.
Was just posted on Amazon, because it has to do with what we were talking about, and that's not journal writing so much as awareness. And this was posted on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com today, and she wrote, I started reading Meryl Beck's book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, on a flight from New England to South Florida. Being on a plane, we have very little space, which isolates us, and as I turned the pages, there was no place for me to go but within. The first chapter was so deep, profound, and touching that it became the crack in the cosmic egg for me to explore my own young life of past. I felt very much like Alice going down the rabbit hole as I began to read. It was an amazing journey touching the very depth of my soul. Meryl allows her world to become yours and her reflections for us to recall our own. My young world flashed past me page after page, and Meryl gave me the courage and permission to look at my young years through my adult eyes. It was an incredible realization. I just finished chapter one when the plane landed. It was brave and compassionate, showing us the light at the end of the tunnel is for us to choose what is in our highest good and go for it. Thank you, Meryl. Now on to chapter two.
Great stuff. And, of course, that's a review of your book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-day program to free yourself from emotional eating. I think what's the best way for folks to contact you?
Through the website. There's a contact page there.
StopEatingYourHeartOut.com. Do you do?
Right.
Are you doing a book tour with this?
I'm not doing a book tour. I'm going to be in different. You know, as I'm traveling, I'll be in different places. I'll be in Cleveland on April 21st, doing a book signing called Book Signing and Schmoozing, and a session teaching people how to release cravings. And that the events are listed on the website. They can also find my author page on Facebook, which is, you know, facebook.com/Meryl Beck.
Oh, fantastic. Meryl, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for answering questions. Thank you for talking about the book, and thank you for writing such a spectacular book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-day program to free yourself from emotional eating. Meryl, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks, Stephen. If I can remind your readers, we're giving away 5 books for people who are registering on the website, and they can also be getting the Acupressure Guide to Weight Control, which will be free.
Thank you so much. They have been reminded. And, folks, I want you to make sure you check out Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-day program to free yourself from emotional eating. We just spoke with Meryl Hershey Beck. She is the author. Again, StopEatingYourHeartOut.com is the website. So I've got about 20 minutes left of the show. I want to talk about this a little bit more. And again, her website is Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-day program to free yourself from emotional eating. So we've been talking about this forever, and I want to cover this for this last a few minutes. The story you're telling yourself is vital. It is vital, the story you're telling yourself. Being conscious of what you are doing, just paying attention, that's the hugest thing. That is the hugest thing about the life that you're living right now. The issues you're having, the chaos you're feeling, the binge eating you're doing, the drugs you're doing, the emotional self-sabotage, all of these things are the story you're telling yourself. And if you just wake up, you wake up and you say pop for a second, you do the old say pop story. You empower yourself by paying attention. You empower yourself by paying attention. By recognizing the steps you're taking, the thoughts you're having, the story you're telling yourself, what pain you're trying to anesthetize. You go through it. You accept the fact that you're in pain. Your life will change to the level at which you accept it. You cannot change something you don't accept. Where you say, well, I don't accept this, I don't accept that. And that's why it hasn't changed for years. Your life changes to the level at which you accept responsibility for it. You haven't liked your job for years, and you keep blaming everybody else. You keep blaming your coworkers. You're blaming your boss. You're blaming the system. You're blaming whatever it is. But you have to, nothing has changed because you are putting the power everywhere it can't be, everywhere it can't do you any good. Instead, you can accept responsibility and say, yes, this job isn't good for me. Let me change something. Let me work on my skills. Let me work on my resume. Let me start putting it out there. Let me start talking to people about other possible jobs. Or let me start talking to my boss. Let me start changing the way I'm doing things. And there's a million directions you can go. When you're blaming everybody else, there's really no place for you to go but miserable. And the reason you'll be miserable is because you feel disempowered. The reason you feel disempowered is because you're putting your power somewhere else. The reason you feel disempowered is because you're putting that power somewhere else. And, of course, you can't change it. You can't change it at all. So, yes, you feel disempowered and you feel miserable. But when you accept it, then you have tons of opportunities. You get tons of choice points. And you're finally being able to get out of your way. This becomes a huge issue for all of us. For all of us don't realize that this story that we are telling ourselves. Merrill Beck had a fantastic story about that. And she's not unlike you. Think about the story you're telling yourself. What role are you playing in your own story? And who's writing it? Some of us don't even write our own story. We have somebody else writing our story for us. People have been in your ear telling you certain things about yourself, and you're starting to believe it. So what's the story you're telling yourself? And how is that story affecting your life? Whether it be binge eating, whether it's emotional eating, whether it's drug use, or it's your behavior, how is the story you're telling yourself affecting your behavior? And once you start consciously paying attention to what you're doing, what you're eating, how it's making you feel, how you're behaving, the story that you're telling yourself, when every time you hear yourself say, no, you can't do that, you're not smart enough for that, you're not strong enough for that, you're not pretty enough for that, whatever it is, you start paying attention to the story you tell yourself, something incredible happens. You start recognizing that you're the author of this story. You're the author of this story, and you can. Every day, your history, you don't have to let your history interfere with your destiny. Every single day, you have an opportunity to rewrite. You have an opportunity to grab that story and change it. Meryl Beck said it herself. She had been telling herself this disempowered story for years until one day she decided to change that story. That's a powerful reflection of the truth of our existence. We can change this story. Simple things can change our story. How would your life be different if you changed the story you were telling yourself, how would your life be different? How would your life be different if you no longer accepted somebody else's story for you? How would your life be different? These are the questions we should be asking ourselves. These are the things we should be paying attention to. I know that you're turning on the TV and you're paying attention to the singing competition. And you know who's singing what and who's not feeling well. And I know you're watching the TV show, the reality show, where people are getting voted off of here and voted out of there. And you're paying attention to who's in what group and what drama is happening. And you're paying attention to who's married to who on a different reality show or some drama show. You're paying attention to who's married who and who's having sex with who. And you're well aware of what time the show is, when it's going to go, how long it's going to be. You're so aware of the show and so tuned into the show that if a commercial dare pop its head up, you get frustrated. You get angered. The reason you get angry and frustrated is a psychological response to how attuned you are to the show. This is what's happening, and that you're paying attention to. Other people's lives. Now, I'm not saying you can't pay attention to those things. Pay attention to those things. That's fine. If that's what entertains you, be entertained. But I'm asking you to also look inwards. Look inwards to your own life. And start paying attention. Start listening. Start realizing what you're saying. What's the story you're telling yourself? What's the story you're telling yourself? Who's the hero in your story? Who's the villain? How is the story being written today? As we speak, when we talk about life, when we go through this life, we encounter numerous things. Today we spoke with Meryl Beck about emotional eating. Her book is Stop Eating Your Heart Out. StopEatingYourHeartOut.com is the website. But we encounter not only emotional eating, we encounter emotional insert word here, emotional partying, emotional behavior, emotional drugs. We encounter so many things. So many things that are there to anesthetize pain that we're feeling. And although the pain can be different, the stories, the details of those stories are different. Although the pain can be different, it really all boils down to, in my opinion, my humble opinion, it really just boils down to the fact that there's a disconnect within you. Because your mind is telling you a story. And it's usually a disempowered story. And your spirit, your soul, knows better. It knows that that story is untrue and unfair. And it creates this feeling of disconnect. It creates this feeling of internal, almost spiritual depression. A void of spiritual unity because your mind is telling a false story of disempowerment. And your spirit, your soul is saying that is untrue. That is a fear-based story, not a power-based story. And that little whirlpool of arguments that are happening out of your consciousness create a void that you seek to fill. And you could fill it with so many things. This is where the marketing industry comes in. Every single thing that is for sale in this world is based on filling that void. The global economy is built upon the void between your mind, your body, and your soul. You guys didn't know the show was going to get that deep today, did you? Neither did I until about a minute ago. Pay attention to the story you're telling yourself. Pay attention what you're using to anesthetize the pain of your void. And pay attention to the story so that you can eliminate. You don't have to fill that void. You don't have to fill that void. If you think about the analogy I'm giving you, that there's a disconnect because there's a disagreement between your mind, body, soul, your agreement with reality and your soul truths, all of this stuff. There's a void. There's a little tornado going on in there, and it's a void, and you'll never fill it because that argument will always exist, so you cannot fill that void. That's why you've been trying to fill it for decades, and it hasn't happened yet. The only way to fill that void is to be rid of it. There is no filling it. There's only eliminating it. And you eliminate it by having your story be an empowered story, by having your intent, your actions in alignment, by having your mind, body, soul story in alignment. I think it was Gandhi who said, "What happiness is when what you think and what you do are the same." He said something to that effect. I'm sure he said it a lot more poetically than I just gave him credit for. What he was saying by that is for me the same thing the historic Jesus was saying in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, "Make things on earth as it is in heaven." He was telling you to get the things in your mind, your thoughts, your intentions, your story, your soul story, in alignment with your actions. Get the stuff on earth as it is in heaven. Get your mind and the earth, your mind and your reality, get them in alignment. Because when you do that, you eliminate that tornado, that whirlpool. You eliminate that void. Now you don't have a void to fill. You are so powerful. The stories you tell yourself are so powerful that they will either propel you to incredible levels or they will crush you. They will crush you. That is powerful. Thank you for sending me this quote, the Gandhi quote. Happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. And definitely more poetic than I said it. Thank you for sending that in. Folks, stop trying to fill a void that can't be filled. Instead, eliminate the void by paying attention to the story you're telling yourself. Are you a victim? Are you a hero? Are you a survivor? What is the story you're telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that same old disempowered story? Oh, why do these things always happen to me? Oh, I'm sure always something's going to go wrong. Nothing ever goes right. Is that the kind of story you're telling yourself? You know, it's 2012. It's 2012. We know so much about experience and existence. We know so much about science and quantum physics. We know so much to warn you. There are thousands and thousands of books probably in multiple languages warning you about the words you're saying to yourself, warning you about your agreement with reality. And if you're walking around saying, "Oh, nothing ever works for me, nothing's ever good enough for me, nothing ever goes right for me, it's always bad," if you're going around saying things like that to yourself, the people around you should be sure to stay very clear of you, because you are creating an environment for yourself that will want to match those horrific things you're saying about yourself. eliminate that void completely by knowing how empowered you can be, by knowing how worthy you are, by knowing how each day is a gift, it's a blessing, it's unique. However you want to look at it, it's true. Today is a day you have never seen before, nobody's ever seen before, and it's a day that no one will ever see again. Pay attention. Be alert. Stay alert. And be aware that the story you tell yourself can change whenever you decide to grab that pen, to grab that typewriter, to grab that laptop, to grab whatever it is you think you're writing your story with. When it comes time to accept the fact that you are the author of your unique story and you start writing it, and make sure you are the hero, make sure that you know that you have survived everything that this world has thrown at you so far. You're still here. You are a survivor. You have a history of victory. You are the hero of your story. And when you know that, then you can handle, I call that knowing your truth, knowing your position. When you know your truth, when you know your position, which is that you are the author of your story, that you are powerful beyond measure to make changes in your life. When you know that truth, when you know that position, knowing that can help you wrestle, can help you deal with, can help you overcome any circumstance, any condition, whether it be emotional eating or anything else. Don't forget that you're the author of your story. Folks, great show today. In the first little while, we had Merrill Hershey Beck. She is the author of Stop Eating Your Heart Out, the 21-day program to free yourself from emotional eating. Her website is stopeatingyourheartout.com. That's stopeatingyourheartout.com. And also make sure you check out our shows, our archives that are empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. You can check out stevemaraboli.com. We are on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Pinterest. We're on Twitter. Check us out. We have a whole world of things available, 100% free, to empower, inspire, and to help people break free from the conditions of limiting thought, the conditions of those stories they've been telling themselves. And again, make sure you share, share, share. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Go out there and make a difference. Never forget that power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Go out there and make a difference. And when doing so, don't forget, this New Yorker loves you. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. See you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.